Welcome back, Skrull Nation. This is Skrull Radio on Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. We are here talking with Liam Mackin about his publishing process through the DePaul Arts and Literature magazine, Crook and Folly. Liam just read his poem, Bogo, or by golly, he's gone bananas on air. And now we're going to talk with him a little bit about it. Thanks for reading again. That was a beautiful performance.
Certainly an interesting poem, for sure. What was your inspiration for that?
You know, that's a good question. Partially because I don't remember specifically the actual process of writing it. But I can give you a general sort of overview of that. I think I personally write best when I can sort of get into a character of some, whether it's, you know, an exaggerated version of myself or another voice that I feel like I know well. And I think that's where I can really sort of pull out something that's, you know, entertaining, something that people actually want to read. And then secondly, I write best when I can just be goofy. So I feel like, you know, both of those elements are strong in there.
Certainly, I would agree.
Definitely.
So, you know, when we were talking with the editors from Crook and Folly, one of the reoccurring things, I mean, we could kept coming back to it, was the idea of the kind of the peer review process. Mm-hmm. From your end, you know, from the writer's perspective, how much did you work on this after the fact, and how much did that peer review play in to your process?
Yeah, I was actually really lucky to have a great support system of writers in the DePaul community. I wrote this for one of my writing workshops originally. It was a advanced poetry with Mark Turcotte. Highly recommend the class if anyone is out there.
Plug.
And so I wrote the first draft of this poem for one of my class workshops, and I got a great reception from my audience. They gave me, you know, feedback. They told me what worked, what didn't work for them. And then I got wrote a second version, got some feedback from my professor. And then when I decided to submit it to Crook and Folly, I chose three poems to submit to Crook and Folly that I felt best encapsulated my voice. I was most excited about this one because, you know, it's one of my favorites of my own, if I'm allowed to say that. Mm-hmm. And then the Crook and Folly staff actually had one or two suggestions for me from there. So it's definitely not as solitary of a process as sometimes people may make it out to be.
Well, here at the Writing Center, we believe that there is no single one writing process. So I appreciate that kind of unique take on a writing process.
True.
Talking about the integration of a character and the silliness that you like to include in your poems, what is this character? Could you tell us? Could you reveal that? I mean, I know it's interpreted in different ways, but I did hear a bit of an accent.
Sure.
And I want to hear more about that.
Sure. So the voice that I sort of tried to inhabit for this is sort of based off of this idea of a really wealthy, like sort of son, well, not sort of son, he's a legitimate son of some corporate executive for the United Fruit Company. Some background in the United Fruit Company, they're the they were the largest, one of the largest corporations working in Latin America, mostly owned by American or United Statesian, if you will, white owners, and using a lot of like very sketchy sort of manipulative labor practices. So I like to always, I always like to think there's like a slight commentary on that, on this sort of disparity between being this, you know, the sort of trivial concerns of this, you know, this very wealthy guy who's just like loving his bananas, and then this sort of perhaps unseen effect on the greater community. Although I don't know if that's not necessarily a surface reading of the poem.
No. Well, I mean, it's interesting to get that perspective from the writer, because, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like every time we analyze something, you know, we're doing it, you know, as the viewers or as the readers or as the listeners or whatever it may be. So it's interesting, and we don't always get to get the artist's take on it or the writer's take on it.
Sure. I love
and what it means to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love when I get the writer's take and it's kind of how I interpret it, and I like feel like I got something right, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Did that happen in this case?
A little bit. I think the biggest contrast, that really It's in the opening line. I went shopping at a Banana Republic today. You know, a corporate American company that right. does have mm-hmm. really sketch labor practices. And then you like take a sharp turn and go yeah. into this bigger problem.
I mostly just try to include as many puns in my poems as possible.
Liam, could you tell us a little bit about the publishing process that you went through with Crook and Folly? How did you decide to go to Crook and Folly rather than trying to get this published externally outside of a DePaul publication?
Sure. Well, first of all, I had a copy of Crook and Folly from last year, and I'm like familiar with the magazine, and I just think that it's a really cool publication that's unique to the space that we're in right now. And so I sort of wanted to reach out to the DePaul community. I want to say like this, you know, this project that I worked on or this piece of writing that I worked on came out of the DePaul community. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see it represented by the DePaul community or for the DePaul community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great. Were you intimidated by Crook and Folly at all?
I wouldn't say so. I'm not trying to throw shade on them as they're like, oh, they're like, oh, I'm not intimidated by them. They're not. You know, some major prestigious journal. The reason I wasn't intimidated was that I felt like I knew a lot of people working on the magazine. I knew people that were published in the magazine. And it just felt like a very intimate part of the community. And I felt like, well, why not just give it a shot, even if I don't end up getting published in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. High praise. I can tell that you, kind of appreciate the platform. Yeah. To get on. I'm feeling inspired. I just want to write. Does anybody else just want to write things right now?
I hope so. I hope this is inspiring all of our listeners to just go and write things. What would you say to someone who maybe is a little bit more intimidated to kind of put their work out there?
Well, I would say that, first of all, that the community, especially if you're reaching out to this specific writing community, is so welcoming. We get, in the English department, we have so many people from so many different writing styles, so many different backgrounds. I love having workshops with people who write completely different than I do. And so, like, whatever you write, people are going to take it seriously. People are going to... they're going to look at it and they're going to want to help you out. Nothing is, you know, no one's going to be like, wow, I really wish you didn't share that.
Yeah.
No, the community here is really, really great. And like, why not just try it out? I mean, the submission process for Crook and Folly, it's not like you have to like put like, you know, you don't have to like sign it and be like, this is about me and like my ex-boyfriend mm-hmm. and blah, 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 blah. You know, just try putting it out there, and see what happens.
Well, I think that's interesting. Your advice, because, you know, oftentimes when we get writers into the writing center, they're hesitant. I mean, it is a major step to even come in and have someone else read your work.
Mm-hmm.
But that idea of someone else reading something, especially with a work like poetry, where it's, you know, it might be more personal to you. And I think that this reoccurring theme we keep getting back to is that, you know, as you know, however you feel about sharing your work, it's how you improve as a writer, right? I mean, mm-hmm. And you know, this kind of leads me into one of our other core beliefs, which is anyone who writes anything is a writer.
Mm-hmm.
That's our number one core belief. So you had a work of poetry published, but they publish all sorts of genres. So, you know, as someone with, you know, experience getting published, what would you say to someone who doesn't feel like they're this strong poet like you, or this awesome writer, or someone who maybe feels like, you know, their writing isn't as good or they're not as experienced? So what would your tips be to someone like
sure.
that?
Sure. Well, I think it's great that you asked me that question, because I still don't feel like a writer, right?
There's no
point in which, you know, you feel like, well, now I'm like the next Ernest Hemingway, you know, and if you do, you might want to like take a look
calm
in the
down.
Mirror. You might want to, you know, take a step back. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that principle that anyone who writes is a writer. There's a stigma around, you know, or there's this idea that writers are a very certain type of person. Maybe they, you know, like carry around a moleskin notebook everywhere they go, and they're introverted and they are always like writing something down. None of those things are true about me. Mm-hmm. So I've brought this up with my professors. We're like, I just don't feel like a writer yet. And they're like, well, you don't even have to call yourself that. Just write. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that, breaking down the stereotypical, mm-hmm. you know, introverted writer. When are you going to get a work published again in Crook and Folly?
Oh, so
when are you going to submit?
Yeah, I need to look at the guidelines because I am graduating at the end of this term. So yeah, that's true. I need to make sure I'm still eligible. Mm-hmm. Although I think I am. see if Eric will give me a little nod or something. I'm going to look through my folders, my Microsoft Word documents, and see what I have, if anything. And it's also given me like a great like boost of confidence. Like, you know what, like I'm going to also look for other literary journals, other platforms to publish on and share my work. So cool. I'm also doing that.
And you're a writer. I mean, we heard your poem, you had the poetry published, but there is the artistic element to Crook and Folly as well. Obviously, you have a copy with you right now. From someone who not only submitted a work, but someone who enjoys the magazine, can you talk a little bit about how that art complements the whole process of reading through and viewing Crook and Folly?
Sure. So I got super lucky with my placement in the book. I think my page looks great. I'm really excited about it. It's actually right next to, I'm going to pull it up here so I can actually cite the person who made this piece. So it's I wish radio were more visual format so I could show our listeners how great this looks. But it's this big pink block with these sort of geometric watermelons printed all over it. And it's called Assorted Watermelon by Vanessa Del Carmen. And I've never met her, but I think she's a great artist. And it feels like so much more of like a product of the DePaul community when he's got all these different facets coming in and all these different sort of these different pieces. It feels like, you know, like a greater representation of DePaul's artistic community.
Mm-hmm. The diverse community, I guess, mm-hmm. would be kind of the reflection of that.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Liam, for coming on the show and sharing your work with us and just kind of giving us your insight. We are going to be revealing Word of the Day.
Word of the
Day. Can we get one more hint?
Yes. Okay, so let's get one more hint and then let's talk about this for a second because Robert picked the word this week, and we appreciate your hard work, Robert. Thank you for grabbing a word for us. Now, it's a noun. It's a noun. It's amelioration. I'm hoping I'm saying that right.
Amelioration.
Okay. I hope I'm saying that right. And I've actually completely shot in the dark all of the words thus far because I've never heard all of the word of the days. So the pronunciations are just complete shots in the dark. But amelioration, it seems pretty... cut and dry. So it's a noun. We said something along the lines of it is what it sounds like. And then, you know, it could be endless. The final hint being every writer does it. I'm trying to what was my thought process going through this today? I don't know. I don't know. What it means. I did not know what it means. Mariah, do you have any idea?
I'm going to guess it's every writer does it. That kind of threw me off because my guess was like endless alliteration. And I don't think that every writer does that. But if you think about like alliteration... as a form of like wordiness.
Well, don't forget what you're playing for.
I know.
The prize every week.
He's
to the
telling
me
my guess isn't good enough.
I'm not
in respect
saying,
to what listen, the prize is.
I'm not saying that your guess wasn't good. I'm saying that the winner gets a hug from me. Is it a hug or a high five?
What do a I hug. Give a
hug from me.
Yeah.
Which I believe to be a wonderful prize. So
is it the winner's choice?
Yeah, you can, you know, if you're not comfortable with a hug or if you would like to prolong the hug, it's up to you. Oh. So how are you feeling about this word? What do you think?
I'm feeling like I'm gonna have to think really hard because I want this hug. But I too had, I just kept thinking of like chameleons for some reason with that amelioration, and I think I'm really far off. So I'm gonna take a step back from this one.
Okay.
Chameleons. So something about changing, maybe?
Yes, adapting to different genres.
Okay, well, now we're kind of getting down the right path, guys.
Okay.
Okay, so with the definition in front of me, amelioration, it's a noun. Its language of origin is, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not spelling bee it. Which, this quick plug for the Scripps National Spelling Bee, because I watch it every year. But
where can we watch that?
ESPN, because it's a sport, okay. Obviously. And they've had back-to-back, they haven't had a co-winners in like 30 years, and they've had back-to-back ties for the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Yeah.
When is it?
I don't know. Sometime during the spring. But yeah, they just run out of words. I'm getting off topic. But they just run out of words, and if there's two people still there, tie.
Both win.
Wow. Yes. You can run out of words?
Yeah. Yeah, you can run out of, they only have a certain bank of words that they use.
That makes sense.
And if they run out, both people win, and they've had two consecutive years with ties or co-winners. I'll say co-winners because winning the Scripps National Spelling Bee is a feat in its own right. Okay, back to amelioration, which I don't know if you guys even know how to spell it, but amelioration is the act of making something better or improvement.
Interesting.
So the clues become apparent now. Now the clues are obvious. Could be endless, because you can just hypothetically be endlessly improving. You know, every writer does it. You know, you're always revising, always improving. And the theme of the show has been that, this idea of peer review and improving your writing and getting better as a writer. So, I mean, now it's just obvious what it meant the whole time. So
I feel like I wasn't that far off with chameleons.
No,
you were kind of
adapting, changing.
Maybe chameleons are always getting better.
I think you won the
hug.
I think you won the hug.
Yeah.
I think you won the hug.
I'm never going to win this hug.
Yeah. I think the point of the game has now become Mariah never gets a hug.
Oh my goodness. I want to thank our listeners for listening to our first episode of our two-part series on publishing. Next week, we will be talking with Big Shoulders Books, which is DePaul's specific book publishing company as well. Thank you to our previous guests, Alyssa Walker and Eric Hollander, for coming on and talking about the publishing process with Crook and Folly. And thank you so much to Liam for coming on and sharing your work and talking about your writing process.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank
you.
Go
Cubs.
We are going to end the show as we always do on Scrawl Radio, which is by me saying, "This is Scrawl Radio," reminding you to, and then we will all say, "Put it in writing." So this has been Scrawl Radio reminding you to put it
in writing. Oh.